Okay, good evening again, everyone. It's always such a pleasure and a privilege to be able to share Torah together, especially with Schlitz Refuah Shlema, for all those that we're davening for. Pitzok, I also just want to mention that the learning should not just be a Schlitz Refuah Shlema for those we're davening for, but also a Schlitz for an Aliyah for the neshama of my wife's grandfather, who was just nifter today, Mr. Gene Shrem, Yochanan Moshe Ben Meir. So all the learning that we do should be Eloi for his neshama. So I wanted to just share my screen here. So give me one moment. Okay. Can everyone see? Just give me a thumbs up if you could see it. Okay, great. Okay, so tonight I wanted to talk about Parshas Chukas. And one of the main themes of Parshas Chukas is water. And I want to talk about the concept of water and the lessons we could learn from the stories about the water in this week's Parsha, and specifically about the well of Miriam, the Be'er Miriam. So the Pasuk says in Parachav, Pasuk Aleph, Vayavo b'nei Yisrael kol ha'eda midbar tzin b'chodesh harishon v'yeshev ha'am b'kadesh v'tamas sham Miriam v'tikaver sham. So the Jews are traveling. Where they're traveling, when they're traveling, not important for our purposes. And it says that Miriam died and she was buried there. Kind of very abrupt. It says that Miriam died and she was buried. Then the next pasuk says, Velohaya Mayim La'eda, Bayekalu Moshe Val Aaron. So this is one of the unfortunate times, happens a bunch during Sefer Bamidbar, where the people are complaining to Moshe and Aaron because they don't have water in this case. Next pasuk, Vayerev ha'am emoshe, vayom lemor, velu gavanu bigva achenu lefnei Hashem. So they say something so dramatic. They say, if only we would have perished. It's better to not be alive than to have to deal with traveling in the desert without water. So first question I want to address is, what is the connection between the first pasuk of the perek that says that Miriam died, and going right into the story of they didn't have water and they were complaining to Moshe and Aaron about their lack of water? The second question is that it's a little bit odd slash perhaps disrespectful that Miriam, who was such a tzaddikus, really the primary female leader of the Jewish people during this time period, just, you know, five words about how she died. She died, they buried her, moves on to the next pasuk. The Jews didn't have any water. Later on in the Parsha, it's not on the source sheet in front of you, but when Aaron dies, it was a whole process. Moshe had to take Aaron up to the mountain, to Har Hahar, to transfer the Begadim to his children. Aaron dies. The Jews cry for him. The Jews mourn him for 30 days. For Miriam, 1, 2, 3. Miriam dies. They bury her. Move on to the next. So I think there's one approach that really answers both questions. So Rashi quotes, what's the connection between Miriam dying and the water being lacking, that the Jews didn't have water? So Rashi says, but mikan shokol arba'am shana hayulahem haba'er bizchus Miriam, that they had this magical, it was a nace, it was a miracle, they had this moving be'er. They had this body of water that traveled with them throughout the desert, and it was Bezchus Miriam. And that's why the Gemara in Taina says, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Shlosha Parnasim Tovim Amdu Yisrael. There were three supporters of the Jewish people. Eluhain, and these are the three. They were all siblings. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. V'shalosh Matanos Tovos Nitnu Al Yadam. There were three gifts that Hashem gave to the Jewish people. Each of those three gifts in the Midbar were in the merit of one of these three great individuals. The Elohein, Be'er, Va'anan, Uman. The Be'er was the moving well, the moving body of water that we were talking about. The Man, the food. And the Anan, that's the cloud that protected Bnei Yisrael and kept them cool in the desert. Be'er bizchus Miriam. So the Be'er was in the Zchus of Miriam, Amod Anan Bezchus Aaron, Man Bezchus Moshe. So the Be'er was, the water was from Miriam, the cloud was Aaron, and the Man was Moshe. And then goes to our pasuk, Mesa Miriam Nistalka HaBe'er. Once Miriam died, the water, the be'er, the well, disappeared. Shenamar Batama Sham Miriam, Uksiv Basrei, Velohaya Mayim La'eda. So the juxtaposition, says the Gemara in Tainus, of the death of Miriam to the fact that the Jewish people were complaining about the lack of water was because after Miriam died, they didn't have the water anymore. So what's interesting is that this idea that the Be'er Miriam was there in the Schus of Miriam could also perhaps answer our second question as to why does it seem so curt that it just uses a few words to talk about Miriam's death and burial. In the Sefer Shemen HaTov, which is an excellent Sefer on the Parsha, by Weinberger Zatzal, so he says that the people didn't even realize what a treasure Miriam was. They didn't realize the greatness of Miriam. And perhaps the fact that they doesn't even say that they cried for her so much. Again, maybe they did, and the Torah just doesn't narrate it. But it doesn't tell us that they even mourned so much for Miriam. Maybe that's showing that they didn't realize what a great individual they had amongst them. And that's why Hashem had to take away the water, to show them that you only had the water this whole time, this miracle, because of Miriam. So Hashem was giving them a little bit of a musr, that you really should have recognized the death of Miriam more and realize what a loss it is and how great it was to have her. And the fact that you don't have the water now is because she's not around. And that was the wake-up call for the people to realize how great Miriam actually was and how great of a loss it actually was. And unfortunately, this happens in life all too often. I'm sure we all could think of examples, both in our own lives and maybe just in the world around us, where unfortunately we don't always appreciate things when we have them, whether they're people, whether they're objects, whether they're situations, that we don't always appreciate when they're there, but then after we don't have them anymore, we realize what a loss it causes, and that's when we truly start to appreciate them. And what I think brings this point out so poignantly is later in the Parsha, in the next parak, Parak Chaf Aleph. So there's an interesting story, I'm sure we know the story, about the Nechashim, the snakes that came to attack Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, and Hashem told Moshe to put up this copper snake, and if they looked at the copper snake, they wouldn't be injured by the snakes. So why did Hashem first have the snakes attack Bnei Yisrael? So, no surprise, it was because of complaining, again, about water. At least that's one of the things they were complaining about. In Parachaf Aleph Pasuk A, Vayadaber Ha'am Ba'elokim Ba'Moshe, Lama Ha'wisanu Mimitzrayim La'misma Midbar. Again, the same old complaint. Why did you take us out of Mitzrayim to die in the desert? Ki ein lechem ve'ein mayim. We don't have food. They had the man, just, you know, FYI, but they weren't satisfied with the man for whatever reason. But they're saying, we don't have water either. B'nafsheinu katzav alechem ha'klokol. And our bodies are sick of this food. They were talking about the man. But they're also complaining about the lack of water. And then the next pasuk says, pasuk above, Vayishalach Hashem ba'am esa nechashim hasrafim, vayinashchu esa'am. So Hashem sent out, or at least for now we'll translate it as, Vayishalach sent these snakes, Vayamat am rav me Yisrael. And unfortunately, many of the snakes were probably poisonous, and they killed many of Bnei Yisrael. So Rav Shimshon Farah Hirsch, it's an amazing commentary on the Chumash in general. So he has an amazing comment on this pasuk. So he says two questions on the linguistic nature of the pasuk. First of all, it doesn't say Vayishlach Hashem, that Hashem sent the serpents, the snakes. It says Vayishalach. So I don't know if there are any dikduk masters among us, but if it was more interactive, I would ask the difference between Vayishalach and Vayishlach. So Vayishalach, Rav Hirsch points out, I'm not going to read it inside, but Vayishalach is Lashon P-L, not Lashon Kal. So Lashon Kal, Vayishlach, that means to send. Like Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, the Yaakov sent out messengers. Vayishalach actually means to release. And Rav Hirsch actually quotes other psukim, like Vayhi Bishalach Paro, Hashem released Bnei Yisrael. Bishilach Esayona, Noach releases the Yonah. So what's the difference between sending the snakes and releasing the snakes? So Rav Hirsch says an amazing thing. He says that the snakes naturally should have been attacking B'nai Yisrael, because there were snakes all over the desert. So just naturally, snakes were all over, and they naturally should have attacked B'nai Yisrael. But Hashem was doing a miracle without them even realizing. Hashem was restraining the snakes. Hashem was holding them back and protecting them. But now that they started complaining again about the water, about the food, so Hashem said, okay, you're not worthy of this extra protection anymore. So Hashem released the snakes. And says Rav Hirsch, that's why it's not just Hashem released snakes. It's not Vayishalach Hashem ba'am nechashim. It's Eis ha-nechashim, these snakes. What does it mean, these snakes? So Rav Hirsch says it's these snakes that were already there, but just that Hashem was holding them back, but now that they didn't deserve that protection, Hashem released them. So why is this important? So I think, number one, it's important because I think it brings out a very similar message of not taking things for granted. And there are so many things that Hashem could be doing for us on a daily basis that we don't even realize is happening. I mean, there's so many examples we could think of. When I think of this idea, I often think of, you know, so many times when, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, we have our enemies in Eretz Yisrael or elsewhere that are planning attacks against Klal Yisrael. And they could be thwarted. They could be thwarted by Shin Bet, by the amazing agencies that we have, you know, in Eretz Yisrael and all over the world. But we don't even know about the fact that there was a salvation because it was all happening behind the scenes. So Lahavdil, this could be happening with Hashem all the time. That there could be so many things that potentially could be hurting us, but that Hashem is protecting us that we don't even realize. But perhaps on a deeper level, we could also explain why is this punishment specifically as a result of them complaining about the water? Because I think it all goes back to the water of Miriam, and that they didn't appreciate what they had. They didn't appreciate Miriam when they had her, according to the Shemana Tov, and they didn't appreciate the Be'er, the magical well that they had when they had Miriam. And because of that lack of appreciation, Hashem had to give them a little bit of a patch and first took away the water. And now when they weren't appreciating the water again, Hashem has to give them another patch and say, you're not appreciating things. So now I'm going to take away the protection of the snake so you realize that I've been protecting you this whole time. So unfortunately, sometimes Hashem, at least in these parshios, sends these wake-up calls, but they're really for our own good. They're really for us to develop that appreciation and to not wait for a tragedy to happen, which unfortunately is also human nature sometimes, to not wait for that to happen to start appreciating, but to really be mindful along the way of how many ways Hashem is constantly protecting us. Now for the second half of Shira, I want to segue to another question, because we started off by saying that the water, the well of Miriam, was really a result of, sorry, the well that the B'nai Yisrael had in the Midbar was really a result of the Schus of Miriam. So that's a very nice idea, but what's the connection? Why, out of all things that we should have as a merit for Miriam, why should it be water? Why couldn't the Mun been from Miriam? Why couldn't the cloud been from Miriam? Why specifically the water? So the Rabbeinu Bachaye, classic commentary, and this is actually based on the Midrash that says the same thing. V'lo haya mayim la'eda, says Rabbeinu Bachaye, kishemesu Miriam nestalek ha-be'er, ki haya ha-be'er bezchus Miriam. So why specifically was the water there because of Miriam? Shehaya la'zchus ha-mayim mimoshe. Because when did Miriam help us out? Through water? Shenamar, Parsha Shemos, v'teisatzav achoso mirachok. So what's that referring to? So that's referring to, of course, when Miriam was watching baby Moshe in the basket, right? So we know Yocheved, Miriam's mother, was the one who put Moshe in the basket and then put the basket on the water. But Miriam was watching to make sure Moshe was okay. And she watched and watched and watched and waited until the basket ended up getting to Batya. We all know the story. And then Miriam actually chimes in the conversation. So Miriam was there patiently watching baby Moshe by the water. So says Rabbeinu Bachaye, says the Midrash, that's why Bezchus Miriam, because she watched Moshe by the water, we have the Be'er Miriam, we have the water that continued to sustain Klal Yisrael throughout their time in the Midbar. But let's just try to go one step deeper. What does this bring out about Miriam? Was it just that it happens to be that she waited by the water, and therefore in her zchus we had water? Or maybe there's a trait that Miriam showed us when she was waiting by the water that also was the trait that was worthy of giving us the water in the Midbar. So there's a pasuk that tells us, I'm actually going to jump a little bit on the sources. There's a pasuk that tells us in one of Miriam's greatest moments, perhaps her greatest moment, was when the Jewish people finally left Mitzrayim, they crossed the Yam Suf, and there was this Az Yashir, there was this huge song that Moshe led as Bnei Yisrael crossed the Yam Suf. And as we know, for whatever reason, it didn't suffice that Moshe was leading the song for the men. Miriam had to lead a song for the women. And the pasuk says, Shemos Tesvav Chaf, Vatikach Miriam Hanavia, Achos Aaron, Esatof Biada. So Miriam, the Nevia, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took an instrument in her hand, Vatitana Kohanashim Acharab, Etupim Ubamacholos, Vatan Lamiram, Shir Lashem Kigo, Gaasus Verachmo, Verachmo, Rama Bayam. Miriam led this song. So, two obvious questions that Rashi picks up on. Why does it have to tell us that Miriam was a Nevi'ah, first of all? Just say, Miriam, we know who Miriam was. She led the singing for the women. Why does it have to tell us she's a Nevi'ah? And secondly, why does it have to tell us that she's Achos Aaron? We know she's Aaron's sister. So says Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Sota, Heicha nisnaba, when did Miriam have a nevuah? Kesha haisa achos Aaron kodam shenolad Moshe. That the pasuk is tipping us off to the fact, remember the time that Miriam was a prophetess when she was only achos Aaron and not achos Moshe, meaning before Moshe was born. So what's that referring to? Amra asida imi sheteled bein kedeisa besota. So what's this talking about? So let's see the Gemara in Sota. So Gemara in Sota, Yud Beis, says, V'yelech Ishmi Beis Levi. So this is talking about Amram from the house of Levi, and he went to marry Ba'ikach Esbas Levi. He went to marry Yocheved. So Laheichan Halach, where did he go? So Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Zevina, Shehalach Ba'atzas Bito. That where did Amram go? Amram went, it means he went with the advice of his daughter. So what does that mean? So the Gemara goes on. Tana, Amram gadol hador haya. Amram, Moshe, Miriam, and Aaron's father, was the greatest. He was the gadol hador. The Gemara actually says elsewhere he was one of the only people that never sinned. He was the greatest. Kevan shirash amar paro harasha kol ben hayilod hayorat hashlichuhu. When he heard Paro saying, every son that's born has to be thrown into the water, Amar, he said, l'shavanu amelin. Should we have children for no reason? Amad v'gerish as ishto. So he divorced his wife Yocheved. But he said, what's the point of having children if there's a chance that our sons are going to get thrown into the water? So amdu kulan v'gerish as nishosayan. And because the gadol hador, Amram, was doing so, all the other men did the same thing. Amr lo bito, but said his little daughter, Miriam, Abba, kasha gzeirascha yosem yishal paro. Your gzeira, what you're doing, is worse than Paro. Shaparo lo gazar el al hazacharim, va'ata gazarta al hazacharim va'al hanakevos. That you're worse because you're saying that you can't have any children, boys or girls. Paro lo gazar el al ba'olam haza, va'ata ba'olam haza ula olam haba. So because Miriam urged Amram to stay together, or to get back together, with her mother Yocheved, of course we know the rest of the story. Moshe Rabbeinu was born, and that's what the Gemara goes on to say, that Miriam was a Nevi'ah, she was a prophetess when she was just Aaron's sister. She knew that Moshe was going to come from her parents, and Moshe was going to bring the salvation for Klal Yisrael. So now, to go back to the Rashi, that why is it so relevant right now that it's saying Miriam HaNevi'ah Achos Aaron? Why is it telling us this? Why is it reminding us of the fact that she had this nevuah when she was a little girl and knew that Moshe was going to come from her parents and end up saving Klal Yisrael, or being the messenger to save Klal Yisrael? So it says the Midrash, Betubim uvimacholos, muvtachos hayu tzidkanyo shebedor, shakarish baruch hu osa lahem nisim, vahutzio tupim mimitzrayim. That it also was alluded to the fact that these women took instruments out of Mitzrayim because they knew all along that there was going to be a geula. Miriam knew all along. She was a Nashim Tzidkanios, one of the Nashim Tzidkanios that knew that there was going to be geulas. Throughout all the years of Shibud, all the years of persecution and the terrible things happening to Bnei Yisrael in Mitzrayim, Miriam knew because of this nevuah that she had. She knew that her brother Moshe was going to end up redeeming Klal Yisrael and they would be saved. So says, I heard from Rabbi Sachar Fran, I think in the name of the Shem HaNatov, I'm not sure who he quoted in the name of, that Rashi and this Gemara is teaching us not just why it tells us that Miriam was in a via when she was Aaron's sister. It's telling us why she had her own song. Why did Miriam need her own song? Because her song was different than everyone else's song. Moshe and the Az Yashir, everyone else's song, was a song of, we thought we were goners. We thought it was all over. As the Midrash even says that Az Yashir Moshe, the Az is going back to when Moshe was in front of Paro, and may Az Basi El Paro, that when I said to Paro, what are we doing here? It's not going to work, he said to Hashem at the Sneh. Moshe thought it wasn't going to happen. The other Jews thought it wasn't going to happen, maybe. And they had their own song of Az Yashir. But Miriam knew all along. So her song was a song of vindication. Her song was a song of, I had the faith all along, and I knew it was going to happen. The women who took the instruments out also knew it was going to happen. That's a different type of song. That's a song of having the faith all along. And perhaps you could say also, to tie it back to our Parsha, and why the Be'er Miriam, the water, was in the zchus of her waiting by the water when Moshe Rabbeinu was going down in the basket. Maybe it was not just the patience of Miriam, but it was the faith of Miriam. Even though it's a very scary thing to put a newborn baby into a basket, not knowing where the baby's going to end up, but because of Miriam's nevuah, Miriam was able to wait it out. She was able to have the patience. She was able to have the faith that things were going to get better. And because of that patience and that faith that she had when she was very young, and she told her parents to stay together, and she waited by the water, because of that patience and that faith, so the water of faith, and the water that was supposed to symbolize Bnei Yisrael having faith that Hashem was going to take care of them in the desert, even though it seems hard, even though at this moment maybe there's not water, the same way in Mitzrayim, at this moment it seems very hard, but you have to sometimes think long term, you have to believe that Hashem has a master plan and is going to take care of you. So maybe that's the connection. The same way Miriam had that as a young child, that was the midah, and that was the message that we were supposed to take with us in the Midbar also. That even though things are hard and it seems like we don't have food, we don't have water, we have to keep the faith that things are going to get better. And perhaps that's why towards the end of the Parsha, it's so pertinent, it's so poignant, I should say, that after Klal Yisrael get water, what does it say? Parachaf Aleph Pasuk Zayin, Az Yashir Yisrael Sashira Hazos Ali Be'er Enula. So there's a new Az Yashir that now all Bnei Yisrael sing, and they're singing the song of Miriam, not the song that they sang when they left Mitzrayim. That was a song maybe of, we thought we were goners, but this is amazing. How did this happen? We went from nothing to Geula. But this is a different song. This is the song of faith. This is Miriam's song. The song of the Be'er is the song of faith, knowing that even when things are hard, even when we get hungry, when we get thirsty, things seem like they're not going well, we have to believe that things are going to get better. I just want to end with a very interesting Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, actually first the Gemara in Shabbos, it says, Amar Rabbi Chiya Harotza Liros Be'er Shel Miriam. To this day, if you still want to see the Be'er of Miriam, you want to see where this well is, the spring is. Yala the Rosh HaKarmel, you should go up to Har Karmel. V'yitzpeh yireh kemin kevara bayam. You should go to Har Karmel and look down. You might see something that looks like a sieve. A sieve is like a sifter, like a strainer in the water. That's Be'er Miriam. So what's this telling us? What's the significance of this? I never tried this. I don't know if anyone here has ever gone to the top of Har Karmel and tried to look out and see if you could see the sieve over the water. But perhaps there's a metaphor here that what's a sieve? A sieve is something that is able to separate out the bad from the good, or the good from the bad, depending how you're looking at it. So perhaps the message of Miriam and thinking positive and thinking that things could get better, that's also the message of the sieve. And that when you look out from Har Carmel and you see the sieve in the water, it's the message of good things could come out, even though right now it seems like there's bad. So maybe that's a perspective that the Gemara is teaching us. And a very interesting minhag that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, which I've never seen anyone do this. Even the Rama himself says he never saw anyone do this. But he says that on Motzei Shabbos, this is in Aruch Chaim, Reish Tadi Tes Yud, the Rama says, V'yesh omrim lidlos mayim b'chol Motzei Shabbos. Some people say to draw water. Nowadays, maybe it'll just be drawing water from a sink. In those days, it was having to go to a well. But you should draw water every Motzei Shabbos. Why? Ki be'era shel Miriam sovev kol Motzei Shabbos. Whatever this means. But the be'er of Miriam, the wellspring of Miriam, goes around the world on Motzei Shabbos, kol ha-be'eros, and touches all of the cisterns, all of the wells of water. Umisha pogeya bo v'yishta mimenu, yisrape michol tachluav. Anyone who drinks from this water will get healed from any of their illnesses. So again, I'm sure people have tried this and it's not something that's a sure thing. But there's a message here. And I think, and also the Rama says, as I alluded to, v'lora isi l'minagza. He says he never saw anyone actually do this, but there was some Mesorah to do this. But what's the message? I think it's the same message, that Miriam is what represents hope and represents patience. And sometimes hope requires patience. And perhaps when we drink from the water of Miriam, we're drinking from that water of hope and faith and being able to believe that things will get better. And what's fascinating is that Miriam herself, I'm not going to read the whole Gemara inside because we're out of time, but Miriam herself actually, according to the Gemara, was ill and then became better. And the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but it darshans a Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, the Gemara in Sota Yud Beis, it's Divrei Hayamim Dalet Hey. It says, Chela v'nara, lo chela v'nara havai, ela b'tzchila chela ulubasof nara. So it says that this Pasuk is referring to Miriam, you can see the English, and initially Miriam was sickly, and ultimately she was healthy and beautiful like a young woman. So Miriam herself, whether it's talking about her tzaras, it sounds like not. It sounds like it's talking about maybe some other ailment that Miriam herself had. So she went through it herself. She went through having a certain ailment and then seeing on the other side what it's like to have the faith all along and then to get it better. So in the Schus of Miriam, you know, we dive in that everyone that has an ailment should have refuah shleima. You know, just because we have faith and we have hope, it doesn't always mean things are going to get better. But we should at least try to follow the model of Miriam to hold on to the hope, hold on to the faith, and to go back to the beginning of this year, to also internalize the message of Hakaras HaTov and realizing that even when things may seem like they're not so great, there are so many things that could be happening for us that we don't even realize that we could be grateful for. So we should all be zocha to learn from the lessons of Miriam and the well of Miriam and everyone that we're davening for, including ourselves, should have full refuah nefesh and refuah aguf. Bekarov. Have a great night, everyone.